This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know.
Welcome back to Josh's broadcast. So, it's been, well, a fortnight since I've been on. And no, not the game Fortnite as in time period. But today I have a very, very interesting topic. And I don't know if it's true, but it's just a theory, okay? So don't take any of this offensive at all. But before we get into today's show, I would just like to give a thanks to Bounce Back Physio for sponsoring us and making this show possible. Anyways, hit it. You heard it yourselves. Go see Bounce Back Physio today if you have any problems. They'll fix you right up. Okay, before we get into today's show, I just want to say, and this is very exciting news. A few weeks ago, Red Bull had sponsored these guys to go out and do a ski jump, and officially, well, it's not in the Guinness Book of World Records yet, because it's getting registered at the moment, but there is a YouTube video on it. If you just look up Red Bull ski jump, then there should be a video that you can watch. I can officially say that these guys have officially broken. I shouldn't even say broken. I should say absolutely smashed the record of the longest ski jump. The longest ski jump was 153.2 meters, and that was the original one. But these guys, they set a new record of 291 meters. So yeah, well done for those guys. That is a long way, and they had to do a lot of calculations to get this perfectly right. Like, there had to be next to no wind at all. No wind. The conditions had to be absolute perfect, and they had to have no wind. No wind at all. The slightest bit of wind, they probably would have just nosedive straight into the ground. But since they had no win, they were all good. And to make it possible, they had to go down the ramp and leave off the ramp at 107 miles per hour. So, yeah, they were going that fast down the ramp. And they had to clear a lot of snow to make the ramp bit possible. So I'll get to that after our first song. Snap!
It's 4 a.m. I can't turn my head off. Wishing these memories will fade and never do. Turns out people lied. They said just snap your fingers, as if it was really that easy for me to get over you. I just need time. Snapping 1, 2. I'm writing a song, so this is the last one. How many last songs are left? I'm losing count. Since June 22nd, my heart's been on fire. I've been spending my nights in the rain trying to put it out. So I'm snapping 1, 2. People before I snap, snap, snap. Oh, I might stop talking to people before I snap. Snapping 1, 2. Where are you?
So, welcome back to Josh's Broadcast. As you're just signing in, we're talking about how the Guinness World Record of longest ski jump has officially been smashed to pieces. So, yeah, we're just talking more about that now. So, for people living in New Plymouth, if people living in New Zealand, we don't go in miles, instead, it's 62.14k. That is fast. Really fast. And he was doing that on skis. And he had to go that fast to get... He had to go that fast because if he went slower, then he wouldn't have gotten enough height off the ground to, you know, just fly through the air and beat the record. But to make the jump possible, they had to clear about 1,020 cubic meters of snow. Wow, that's a lot of snow. Definitely, that definitely is a lot of snow. And if you're asking where did this happen, they had to search all around the world to find the correct amount, well, the perfect hill in the country. So they had to search all around the world. And they found the perfect hill in Iceland. So it happened in Iceland. So, yeah, and the person who beat this record was Yanni. He is a Japanese person, and he beat the record. And congrats to Yanni for beating the world record and getting 291 feet. Well, 291 meters, should I say. Not feet, meters. But anyways, congrats on Yanni for beating the world record. But since we've discussed that, now it's on to today's proper topic, which is insects or animals. But what today's subject is about is, what if there is a secret country that us humans haven't acknowledged and haven't paid attention to? And what I am talking about is insects and animals. What if insects and animals are countries? Like the bees, they have a queen bee, and then the worker bees go out and pollinate flowers and stuff. And actually, bees are actually becoming endangered. But we need bees to survive, because bees go out, pollinate flower, pollinated flowers and stuff equals fruit, and fruit equals food that humans can eat. And if we don't have any pollination, then we can't have any fruit that grows in trees. So then we wouldn't really get food. So we actually do need bees. So, yeah. But there's a queen bee, what is basically like the president. And then we have the worker bees that could be like the government. Like in real life, if you go down to Wellington, the place where the government is the hive. And what do bees make? Hives. So, what if the queen bee is the queen and the worker bees are workers, but also the government for the insects, because they provide food and they make it better? What is the job of the government? To make good decisions for the country. And that's what they do. They make good decisions by pollinating flowers and making food for other animals or humans. So, it makes sense that it would be a country, because there's people, there's a government, and there's a queen. So, altogether, insects could all be political entity units. So, yes, they could be a country, because they are a political entity. They could totally be. And also, moving on from insects, like animals, how we say lion is king of the jungle, animals could be a country as well. Like, there could be one animal, like, I don't know which one, but maybe the lion that could be like the government keeping everyone in check and making good decisions for the animal community. Because with the insects, you have homes, you have trees and hives and other stuff that they can hide in and make their home. So, and also animals have things that they can have as their home. Like, instead of animals being their territory, what if that is their country? So, yeah, it does make a lot of sense that animals and insects are a country. So, yeah. But anyways, we'll go to our second song, Sunshine by One Republic. So hit it.
Running through the strange life, chasing all them green lights, throwing up the shade for a little bit of sunshine. Hit me with them good vibes, bitches on my phone lights, everything is so fine, little bit of sunshine. Yeah. Crazy lately, I'm confirming, trying to rob myself of something. You just trying to get a word and life is not fair. Working on my tunnel vision, trying to get a new prescription, taking swings and even missing, but I don't care. I'm dancing more, just a little bit, breathing more, just a little bit, care a little less, just a little bit, like life is woo. I'm making more, just a little bit, spin a little more, take a bit of it, smile a little more, and I'm in a way. Sick of seeing all the selfies, now I don't care. Found myself a new vocation, calibrated motivation. No more static, change the station, headed somewhere. I'm dancing more, just a little bit. Breathing more, just a little bit. Care a little less, just a little bit. Like life is woo. I'm making more, just a little bit. Spin a little more to get rid of it. Smile a little more and I'm into it. Honestly, man, lately I've been running through the strange life. Keep up with the changes, punch that number and the name when it clocked in. Now I feel like Michael with the cane when I walk in. Basically, life is the same thing, unless you don't want the same thing. Probably should've won and got a feature, but I didn't. I've been saving up the money, cause it's better for the business.
I've been running through the strange life, chasing all them green lights, throwing up the shade for a little bit of sunshine.
That was a bee, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking about how insects and animals can be countries, like have their own country. So yeah, we're just talking about that if you're just tuning in. So yeah, they could be their own country, like insects. What do insects use for homes? Hives, trees, rocks, holes. That's all their home. Okay? Now, what does animals use for their homes? Water animals, water, obviously, polar bears, ice, snow, blah, blah, whatever. Land animals, obviously grass fields, lands, maybe forests. That could all be part of their country. Like water animals, all the water could be, well, wherever their territory is, for in the water is like their country, like only their type of species can come in and stuff. And then they can just go around, or water animals just share a country. Because they're all water animals. They all have similar things in common. Well, they all can breathe underwater, so they have things in common. So, yeah. And also with lions and, like, tigers and stuff, where their territory is, they choose a territory, like a territory for a field or a territory for a jungle. Their territory could be their country. And they could let other tigers in. Because, like, in real life, to get into a different country, you have to go through a checkpoint. And what if the tiger is the checkpoint? He decides who comes through and who doesn't come through. Like, sometimes, if, like, a tiger has his territory and another tiger comes along exploring for another territory, what if... Since in humans, if humans did that, the human would ask for a checkpoint, and then if they were good, would let them through. So with tigers, it's similar with them. They would check if they're good, or if they're like weak or anything, then they would let them through. But if they were good, then obviously they would get into a fight and try and kill one another. But it's different from a human checkpoint, but it's also similar to a human checkpoint. So it definitely is kind of the same as human civilization. Obviously, animals that are out in the wild today have no idea about what the hell is going on with us humans. Like, what kind of technology do we have and stuff. But how animals get angry when we go into their territory, that's because we have come into their territory without their permission, and we don't look like an animal that's related to them. So, yeah. Of course they get angry because it's just like a human sneaking past a human checkpoint. So obviously they would get mad. But also they get mad because us humans, we need food, and quite a lot of us humans go out hunting for them. So yeah, to get meat and stuff to eat. But that's basically how the food chain goes. An animal gets killed and processed for food for us humans. But that's all I have for today. But it is a very, very interesting topic. And I reckon the points that I have bring to the table today is very convincing that animals and insects are countries. But I'll see you guys next fortnight. Bye bye.
Lately I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. Like a swinging vine, swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. Kills me, makes me feel alive. Lately I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been playing hard, said no more counting dollars.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.